Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
Yes, the Chet Holmgren to my Paolo Banchero.
No, I'm Paolo Banchero. Thank you very much.
We all
want
to be
superstar.
Paolo.
I am the one that's going to be the best player in the draft. I am the guy.
Let's be real. I'm Jaden Ivey.
Let's be real. You're Jabari Smith. You're not dribbling.
Safe, reliable.
You've got the highest floor, but the lowest ceiling.
I would be the guy with the high floor, low ceiling.
Let's just be honest with ourselves. You're realistically Jeremy Sochan.
I haven't dug deep enough to know if that's an insult or not.
You can't shoot to save your life, but you hustle really hard. And you play great defense because of it.
I do play good defense. This is not a basketball podcast, but we're recording on Wednesday because the NBA draft is tomorrow and we both want to watch it. So,
yeah. The draft to me is very important. It's like my Super Bowl. Me and my cousin Joel, we get together. We order the exact same thing every year from the exact same place. We've been doing it for like well over a decade now since the Blake Griffin draft. So, 2009.
There you go. If we had anywhere to put our NBA thoughts, we'd do a post-draft pod. But we have no, NBA place.
Are we going live on Twitter?
We'll have a Twitter space and just get NBA old heads to yell at us. But no, this is Crossbody at Work. We're looking at a wrestler through five of their best matches. But it's time, oh friends, for another three-parter. That means 15 matches.
Oh yeah.
And paring this guy down to 15 matches was so hard.
Yeah. It's especially weird to cut off time periods because his career is just so fucking long.
Yeah. We're covering the career of Sting, Steve Borden. And like we have matches from 86 to 2016, I think. 30 yeah. years, 15 matches. A guy who's held tons of titles, has had multiple different personas, been the stalwart of like four different promotions.
Yeah. I mean, he's been the backbone.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the baby face of WCW. He was the big guy in TNA. He came to the WWE. It was a big deal. And now he's still going. I mean, he's in fucking AEW and he's still going. Guy's in his 60s.
Yeah, like he was a star and still is. And he's still doing things, still taking bumps, even though we thought he was retired after the buckle bomb from Seth Rollins. I feel like trying to do an intro to Sting is like asking people if they've heard of like, I can't think of a famous example, but like for wrestling fans, like you all know who Sting is.
Yeah. It's like, it's like if someone, or like, even if, you know, a person's never really listened to the Beatles before, they know who the fuck John Lennon is. Like
they know who the guys are, Paul McCartney is,
you know?
If somebody could know nothing about basketball and they were like, have you heard of this LeBron James fella?
I mean, let's not compare Sting to LeBron.
Let's compare Sting to...
I would say, have you heard of the Shaq guy?
You heard of this Tim Duncan fella? I think that's my comp.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sting to Tim Duncan? That's
a comp. I feel like people don't know Tim Duncan if they like are just out on basketball.
But they should. Put respect on the most boring and fundamental person. Based on what you know about me, of course Tim Duncan's my favorite player. Of course he is.
Oh, hell yeah. I love
Tim
Duncan.
Dude puts up 19 and 12... quietly, fundamentally.
Yeah, I mean, that's realistically what Sting is. I don't know. I feel like we watched very early career Sting here through, like, you know, the beginning of his rise to the top of WCW. And I feel like there wasn't a point where I was like, yeah, this dude sucks.
No, he's been good.
He's just good.
For a long time. Let's do all the housekeeping stuff before we move on to talk about Sting in his early career. Wherever you're listening, be sure to rate 5 stars. It helps the pod out tremendously. We're back on the American podcast charts this week.
Yee.
And we get there with your help. Plus, I bet you know people who love Sting. We're doing 3 straight weeks of Sting. Get them in. Yeah. Get them in on the ground floor.
It's showtime.
It's Sting time. Also, be sure to check out the merch table, fullpressshop.com. Cop the merch, support the boys, and follow us on Twitter, most importantly, at Crossbody of Work. Tell us who to cover once we're done with Sting. Steve Borden, what do you know about early career Sting?
I knew that he was in a tag team with the Ultimate Warrior.
Which we're going to get to soon.
Yeah, I believe their name was the Blade Runners.
Blade Runners!
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool. I never actually watched any of their matches. I just knew that that thing existed. Now, admittedly, I didn't want to watch the matches, you know, because Scott Ultimate Warrior, but yeah.
He sucks. So I guess Steve Borden, the man behind Sting, the man behind the face paint, had no interest in professional wrestling and no TV access to it in his house. He just didn't see wrestling growing up. But then decided to pursue a career in the industry because he was taken to a, quote, incredible WWF show where he saw, and these are the ones he mentioned, Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, the British Bulldogs, and Andre the Giant. Fair. That's a wide variety of styles and impressive people to be like, this place is nuts.
And if you guys are probably like, wait, isn't Sting like just only a few years removed from those guys? The answer is yes. But like,
you probably can be inspired by your peers. That's fine.
Yeah, he's probably like in college or like just getting out of college by the time, you know, he went to those shows. Who knows?
Sting would be originally under the ring name Flash, and he would team with Jim Justice Helwig, who we all know as the Ultimate Warrior now, in the Continental Wrestling Association. They would be there for about a year and a half. They'd move to the Universal Wrestling Federation, which is run by Bill Watts, based in Louisiana. And they would then change their names to Sting and Rock. Ultimate Warrior in this match is named Rock. I hate
the Blade Runners
more than I can explain in words.
I don't understand it, really. Why is his name Rock?
Sting and Rock. Like, this is American Gladiator shit.
I mean, they're called the Blade Runners. Just have them, their names be a ripoff of the movie.
I was going to say Blade and Runner. Who are you? I'm Runner. The match itself, it is the Blade Runners versus a pair of guys that we have heard of and seen and have had long and illustrious careers. It's Ted DiBiase and Dr. Death Steve Williams, pre-million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, and pre-Dr. Death, I would assume.
No, Steve gets Williams. Called Dr. Death on the pod, or on the match.
Oh, shout out. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Steve Williams. I think Steve Williams is awesome.
He looks tough as hell.
Dude, he's fucking stiff. If you see, have we done we haven't done an episode, have we?
No, that's going to be somewhere on the pipeline, too.
Oh, dude, his matches in Japan are fucking nuts.
And then we also haven't done a Ted DiBiase episode.
Well, I mean, listen, we can't give the people everything.
That's
you know?
True. We got long-term plans here. All right, long-term booking. Yeah. We're the opposite of WWE.
Yeah, eventually, you know, we're going to run out of things to do. And, you know,
I will commend WWE because there's some long-term booking happening because I think we're finally going to get the payoff to what was in that lockbox Shane McMahon was talking about.
Can you not?
So let's talk about the match. Hot stuff. Eddie Gilbert is here with the introduction for the Blade Runners. They look like just two dudes you picked from Venice Beach and just said, paint your faces. You're wrestling today.
So my one of my first notes here is that Warrior's shoulders look massive. Somehow I feel like he looks, like upper body wise, he looks bigger than he did in his prime years.
You're not wrong.
Sting is about to wrestle in a crop top, and spoiler alert, he does the entire match. He's wrestling in this gray crop top, and I'm fucking here for it.
I love it. I love the crop tops. Summer of crop tops. It's upon us. And I was the same way. I'm like, is Sting not going to take that thing off? Nope. He's comfortable in his crop top, keeping just his chest meat warm. Everything else is exposed.
Hey, man, if you've got it, you got to flaunt it. That's my thinking.
The Blade Runners are undefeated as of the taping on TV in the Universal Wrestling Federation. And what do you think of the actual match action?
I think there's a clear MVP of this match, and I think it's Ted DiBiase.
I agree.
And I think that it's really obvious that Sting and Rock are very new to the wrestling industry. Obviously, one being better than the other, I'm pretty sure we can all assume who that is.
That's right.
It's Rock.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm so mad. Sting, yeah, not there yet with the technical prowess, but he's got some presence. He's got
good look. He's big.
Yeah. All those things that you're looking at a prospect, you know, you can't teach size. You can't really teach like that quickness.
Dude, imagine him under Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon would have put a rocket to this guy.
He would have strapped the rocket on him.
But Vince but Sting is a loyal, loyal man.
He truly is. Early on, nice drop kicks by DiBiase. We get a hip toss. Sting has to scurry to the outside. We get a long headlock spot, which, man, I'm certain there's a trend. Early Sting matches,
so long.
There are some long headlock spots.
DiBiase tries to do like Irish whips, like push him off to, with the momentum to go Irish whip. He does it like twice and it doesn't work. Sting just sticks to him. And then on the third one, he actually finally gets him off. And then he hits a drop kick. And then Rock tags in.
So much flexing by Rock.
I just have to say it. There's only one man that I have ever seen where I was like, this dude legitimately cannot touch his arms to his sides. And that is Otis.
Yes.
I do not think that at this point Warrior can do it.
Because of the size of his shoulders and his
Like, at one point he had his arms out, like stretched out because he was like flexing or whatever. And then he like rested them and brought them back. Nowhere near.
See, bodybuilders, I appreciate like the dedication to it, but also like, where the fuck are you finding clothes?
It's just not practical.
I understand why they always wear those like those muscle shirts that just have like the tiniest little straps, and they're always super baggy and the big holes inside because there's nothing else that fits them.
This is true. I don't understand where they get their pants from because their quads are always massive, but their waist is so thin.
It makes no sense. Rock sucks. Dr. Death with some football blocks to knock the Blade Runners down. We get one of the best celebrations of all time, which is a ridiculous jumping double high five by DiBiase and Williams. They're so happy. They're like, yeah, school's out.
It's like an 80s rom-com. Or like,
yeah, they should have freeze-framed right there, and it would have been the end of the movie. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just hear, lonely eyes, or something like that.
We get a side headlock by Dr. Death, some more shoulder blocks by him. Then we get Eddie Gilbert making his presence known in the match.
Ooh, Eddie Gilbert. Wait, what did Eddie Gilbert do?
He does like a little distraction. While that's happening, Sting cracks Williams as he's running the ropes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that lets Rock get the advantage. Yeah.
Yeah, Rock gets the advantage. He hits a back elbow. He puts on a very long headlock, which...
Very long.
You know, it's fine if this guy wants to use a headlock. He's fucking brawlic as shit. I'm assuming if he wanted to squeeze my head and cave it in, he probably could.
He absolutely could.
But homie, it's just it's pro wrestling, and it just goes a little bit too long. I know he's not blown up. He's done literally three things, and none of them involved moving.
Exactly. He can't be tired yet.
At one point, he does like a knee to the ribs. Oh, I believe it's Dr. Death.
Yep.
And it's so lazy. It is so incredibly lazy. I can't even describe how bad it was.
Sting gets in. We get a jumping elbow drop by Sting. Not off the top rope, just like a while-standing jumping elbow drop. Sting avoids Dr. Death in the corner because he's charging in. Rock with a scoop slam, but misses the elbow.
Yeah.
Which is not good. And then we get the hot tag to the MVP. DiBiase coming in hot.
Yeah, DiBiase comes in hot. And then eventually, like midway through the hot tag, all four men get in the ring and they're just brawling around.
Everything goes to shit.
It's just chaos. DiBiase goes for a scoop slam. Eddie Gilbert gets in the ring, drops, kicks Sting, who's about to get scoop slammed, back into DiBiase.
Yeah.
Sting goes to get Sting the pin, basically. And then DiBiase flips it over.
One, two, three. The first time that the Blade Runners have been pinned on UWF television.
Shout out to DiBiase and Steve Williams, the team I never expected, but I'm very glad that I received.
Quite the weird, weird time. Weird combo of people, you know?
Blade Runners, baby.
Blade Runners. Let's look at our promo from Sting this week. Random promo from when he switched to NWA. So he was one of the only guys that when they came to NWA from UWF, which was bought out by NWA, I'm pretty sure. He was one of the only ones that was like pushed. Like he was really pushed early. He had a good match at Starrcade 87. That's what this is promo is leading into. He's part of a 6-man tag. It was Sting, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Jimmy Garvin against Eddie Gilbert, one of the Steiners, and Larry Zbysko. So he's cutting a promo on Larry Legend, Larry Zbysko. What do you think of the promo here?
I mean, you could tell he's green. I never charisma, honestly... Though.
Charisma is there.
I think the best thing that ever happened to Sting was the Crow character, because I really never felt like he was that great of a promo.
For a guy who cuts promos for 30 years, you'd think he has more hits.
I don't think he's bad, necessarily. But I just don't think he's very good at it.
He's serviceable. He can go out there and give you a promo, but he's never going to give you one that just like he moves the needle as a wrestler and as a character. He doesn't really move the needle with the promo. That's not the part that does it.
He's just really bad at picking up on tone and decibel levels and when they should go where. Like, there was a point here where he's just like, he starts off, he goes, "I'm kind of ticked off at Zbysko running his mouth. Talk about trick or treat. I'll show you trick or treat. Here's trick," puts up his left hand. "Here's treat," puts up his right hand. "Also known as the coma and the morgue."
Of those names, which one's better? Trick and treat or coma and morgue?
I prefer trick or treat, personally. Me too. Yeah. Just because what the
trick could be the coma, jab?
I'm sorry, coma and morgue?
Yeah. If you had to name your fists, what do you name your fists?
Shit. Phil Mickelson and I lost. There you go.
I like that. For those of you who don't know, because like, we don't have video, Javier just stared at his right hand, thinking it would give him its own name.
I don't know.
Like, it would speak to him and be like, "You call me Billy."
You ever see Idle Hand?
No.
So, Idle Hand is a movie that stars the guy who starred in the first Final Destination movie.
Okay.
It has his love interest in it is Jessica Alba, his best friends, one of them Seth Green, the other one is some it's the guy who I believe is he's in a lot of those like 2000s like trashy stonerish kind of movies. I don't remember his name. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Is he really skinny?
No, he's large.
Oh, okay. I thought you were thinking of DJ Qualls.
No. So the whole point of the story is the dude who was from Final Destination also plays Stan in the music video for Stan by Eminem.
Oh, Devin Siwa.
Yeah, that dude. So his hand gets removed and replaced with the devil's hand.
Oh.
Looks like his hand, but it's a demonic hand. And it kills people, killed his friends. His friends come back as ghouls. Jessica Alba and him eventually end up sleeping together. I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy. So I was kind of just hoping that the devil hand would speak to me.
I was like, how does this tie into the name for your hand?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I thought it would like activate itself.
I made a deal with the devil so he could name my hands.
Okay, here, I got you. Lucifer and Phil Mickelson, because lefty.
And Phil. These are Lucy and Phil. Sting also talks about how it's going to be embarrassing for Zbysko to be beat by a kid. And he calls him a kid. I was like, I don't know where you're really going with this.
I guess because Zbysko called him a kid. I don't know.
Oh, Zbysko called him a kid. So it's going to be embarrassing to get beat by a kid. That's a very classic, I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, he says Larry's going to be mad when he feels the wrath of the Stinger.
Yep.
And then there's a random yell when he's calling out Steiner.
Oh!
Just randomly starts yelling, "I died." And then he said he's done talking. He's going to do it. And he yells again, and I go, "Phil Knight's going to sue his ass."
Just do it.
Just do it, man.
Again, promo's not Sting's thing. He leaves it in the ring instead.
It's not good. It's not a good promo.
I genuinely think, even watching it, you're like, this is a charismatic guy. Even if the promo itself didn't really hit the notes, you're like, this dude.
Yeah. I mean, he's over as all fuck.
He is. I think
that
helps. It's
in front of a live audience.
Yeah, I think that really helps. If you're wondering, the match at Starcade would go to a time limit draw at 15 minutes.
So NWA, it hurts.
Speaking of time limit draws, we're going to take a break. When we get back, Nelly, we got a long one. Back from the break, and it is Clash of the Champions. The first one ever. Jim Crockett Promotions. March 27th, 1988. Going head-to-head with WrestleMania 4.
Ew.
Yeah. That was the whole thing, is they were going head-to-head. And I think Vince made certain people not carry it, so that way, like, they had to choose between WrestleMania and Clash of the Champions, which is pretty shitty, but also Vince is a man of business. The match itself is Sting challenging for the NWA Championship against Ric Flair.
You knew Ric was going to show up here at some point. You just didn't know when.
the fact that it has been this is year four of Sting being a professional wrestler.
And oh, he's
challenging for the world title.
Wow. That's pretty fucking nuts. Yeah, that's
quite the rise.
Yeah, I mean, he's Surfer Sting still at this point. He's like, he's all
29 years old.
That's not bad. I mean, that's just turned 29
here. Yeah.
It's like it's funny as fuck. The 29 is considered like a young buck or whatever in wrestling.
Yeah, it is wild.
Yeah, it's like you're just like if you're in basketball, you're in the middle of your prime.
If you're running back, you're fucking done.
Yeah, you're like out of the league already. You're in meanwhile fucking Canada.
Finn Balor kicks Edge out of Judgment Day because he's old, and I'm like, Finn, you're 40, bro.
Yeah.
Just because you got abs doesn't mean you're not aging.
Speaking of Judgment Day, I saw they were like on Main Event.
Yeah, it was Priest and Balor versus the Mysterios on Main Event, which, like, I'll watch Main Event for that. That sounds like a lit match. It's a great match.
Give me Rey Mysterio any day.
What did you think of this match? The Flair versus Sting. We already spoiled it. 45-minute time limit draw.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before the recording. It's just kind of copy and paste. So this went 45 minutes, and honestly, it just felt like the same 15-minute match, copy and pasted three times.
It's exactly right. I was trying to figure out what was wrong with this match. It's a really good match. The 15-minute match is a really good match, but it happens three times. It's the same bits, the same spots, to the point where I thought something was wrong with the recording. Like, I thought something had... Like, did we go backwards? Like, what happened here? Because also the quality of the video that we have, go watch this. If you have Peacock, go watch this on the network. The quality of the video we found, oh, mama.
It's not great.
It's not great, but these are the things we suffer through for you. Javier went out of his way to text me while watching, saying the fact that you made me watch a low quality video of a 45-minute draw is like unforgivable.
Like the things I do. By the way, I'm sure the people have noticed by my voice. This is my flu game. I'm going through the flu game performance right now.
That's true.
So, like, I was like feeling the early effects of it last night when I was watching this, all these matches in preparation for the podcast. Evan had me. You know, I was laying in bed. I wasn't feeling, you know, super great. Evan's got me watching a grainy ass video of a match that goes 45 minutes when it's just a 15-minute match multiplied by three.
Yeah, we hate multiplication here. Flair is in the all-white robe. He's got J.J. Dillon at his side, and then they don't even mention this in the description. Just all of a sudden it starts happening. J.J. Dillon gets put in the shark cage and raised up. And I was like, that's great. I don't know why we needed him in the cage, but okay.
Okay.
J.J. Dillon's a shit disturber. Dusty Rhodes was the booker here, and apparently he saw something in Sting. He saw star power, and he's like, "We're gonna strap the rocket on you, baby. You're gonna go right to the moon. You're gonna draw Ric Flair, baby.
Yeah, you gonna do the thing here, baby. I can't even do it. I can't.
No, you're too thick, baby. You need a nice chicken soup. Get yourself right. So the match. I feel like going through all the bits is gonna be exhausting, but like, let's talk about the things that happened in this match. Go through some parts.
Early on here, we get a Greco-Roman knuckle lock, which I know you love.
That's a great way to start a... I guess this really wasn't a blood feud at this point. This is really their first like big encounter. But like, world championship, start with a Greco-Roman knuckle lock. That'll get the people going.
It gets the people going. Flair started screaming at one point, which is really funny.
Sting gets some drop kicks. He reverses some of the locks that Flair's going to put on him. Flair gets a chop, runs the rope a bit, gets caught with a press slam, head scissors, and a headlock pin. And that's my clue in because I'm listening to commentary. It's JR and Shivani. It's 1988.
Yeah.
And AEW was like, that's still good.
Now, I will say, I fucking love Tony. I think Tony has been a great signing by them.
I think Tony Schiavone, when I think of like, if you ask me, like, what's the voice of AEW? It's Tony Schiavone and Excalibur. Those are the two people I think.
Well, the thing with Tony is he doesn't overstay his welcome on commentary. Like, he knows his role, and he doesn't, like, you know, overstepped the bounds. He doesn't make any mistakes. Really, there are many mistakes there. Really, his skill is really the interviews.
He's so really good at it.
Yeah, he's really good at that. But JR, I mean, JR's. It's sad, but he's finished. I fear.
It's like when your team has like a legend and you hold on to him because he's a legend. You got to keep him, but like he's not the player he was, but he's still getting the minutes. You're like, like you're not, we love you, but you're not that guy anymore. You shouldn't take every shot. I'm looking at you, Dwayne Wade, in the farewell in Miami. They rode you, but you weren't there anymore. You weren't the same guy. Let's see. Flair gets the advantage back. He does a Flair flop, which, again, he does three times in this match.
Yeah, I do love a Flair flop, though. So I'm
Me too. I know you love this, though. Flair gets the advantage, bunch of corner chops, Sting fights back, big press slam, and then maybe the longest bear hug spot we've had on this pod.
Yo, homie, not even that. Sting no-sells everything.
Yep.
Everything. Like, I understand. I love Japanese wrestling. I'm all about the fighting spirit, all this stuff. They don't no-sell every move. Honestly, it's like Flair is just going through shit. Like, Flair will chop him once, and it's like, okay, I'm no-selling this. Like, another one. And then, like, a minute later, it's like, all right, we're going to do punches. I'm no-selling that. And then it's like, you know, at some point here, we got to figure it the fuck out and sell, Stinger.
You got to do selling.
They want to talk about the Young Bucks. They want to talk about Kenny Omega and how they don't sell. They want to talk about all these guys, the indie darlings who don't sell, all this bullshit. And then we've got fucking Sting over here. Class of Champions 1. This is as old-timey wrestling as it fucking gets, people. And the motherfucker ain't selling shit.
I like this. This is heated Javier. He's all hopped up on cold medicine. This is great. He's all pumped up. Yeah, he doesn't sell anything. And Flair, we get into this formula. This is the formula that happens. Sting has control for a while. Flair holds on. Flair fights back. Sting no sells. Flair begs off or flops. Sting regains control. It happens for 45 minutes. There are some extra spices thrown in there, but that's the routine.
Yeah, and then you throw in a figure four, you throw in some scorpion deathlocks, throw in some clotheslines.
Those are the dancing spots. Yeah, there's one point where we're on the outside, Sting gets sent in the metal barricade, Sting is back in the ring, he's powering up, punches Flair clean out of the ring, chokes him, goes for a diving clothesline, Flair ducks, and that Sting hits his arm in the post, and I'm like, so this is where it's going to be, you know, Flair works Sting arm. No, never happens again. Just forgets it. It's cool. We don't need it anymore.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. It's just a lot of stuff here. Sting firing up. He punches his way out of arm ringers. He's no selling arm ringers. He suplexes Flair back into the ring from the apron. We get a scorpion deathlock. It lasts like less than a second. Flair is immediately on the ropes. Sting misses a clothesline. Oversells. Falls right out of the ring. Yeah. Hits the guardrail. It's like crazy. It's like, oh, now you want to fucking sell. And then you oversell.
Yeah. Can we talk about the tiny Sting rat tail?
I didn't even notice it. Go on.
He has like a small... Obviously, Sting is bleach blonde at this point, if you didn't know. This is Surfer Sting era. He's got a small, like couple inch long, little blonde rat tail at the very base of his hair. And it's only noticeable when they get into the figure four spots. You only see it then. The only time you see him really that at that angle, and you're like, that, why did, like, it's like his barber was like rushing, and then Sting's like, it's fine, just let me go. Like, it didn't look intentional. Also, because we get another figure four, they could get like four of these in the match. Sting flips the figure four. I would love someone to explain this, like William Regal to me, about how this actually does a thing. How does the flipped figure four actually...
We've talked about this, haven't we?
I don't know if we've talked about it. Like, I know I've complained about it because I don't fully understand it, but I need William Regal to go on his pod and be like, this is why. And I'll be like, oh, thank you, Bill.
I don't know. I don't think it does. I mean, if anything, I feel like it would just add more pressure.
I've never understood it. And yet it's like the big spot.
your only way out is lifting yourself, which is really fucking difficult. Mm-hmm. And then the person, like, you can't bring your knees up because you're pinned against the mat. It's just like, I don't know.
Later on, I wrote, finally we found a different move, and that's when Sting pulls out an abdominal stretch. And I was like, oh, we haven't seen that yet. That's new. Put that on the board. He knows that one.
Check that one off, baby.
That's right. Elbow drop attempt by Flair. No dice. Flair tossed off the top rope by Sting, because why does Flair ever go to the fucking top rope? It's one of my favorite ongoing bits.
Yeah.
I pray to God he doesn't go to the top rope in his retirement match.
But the crazy thing is, he probably will.
Oh, do we know who he's wrestling yet?
I don't want to know.
You just want just some random? Like, just...
I want it to be, like, the most random. I want it to be fucking whatever is current Doink.
Where can we just find someone to be Doink?
Yeah, can we like make like, I don't know, fucking Eddie Kingston Doink for a night?
If you could make any AEW wrestler Doink, why did you choose Orange Cassidy?
It's not Orange Cassidy.
Just for one night.
No, night. It's one person and one person only, and that's Peter Avalon.
Actually, a great call. Flair gets locked into figure four by Sting. We get more corner punches by Sting. He this is another move he does all the time, is Flair's in the corner. You go up on the middle rope, you rain down punches. That happens 7 times. Sting focuses on Flair's ankle. Flair goes up and over the turnbuckle when tossed into it, which is one of my favorite sells of all time.
Yep.
Gets his face smashed into the metal railing.
Yeah, he does a lot of shit here. Wait, so there are you telling me there were two Flair corner spots?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I skip far to the end, because like it's the same fucking match over and over again.
Yeah, and then he like hits a flying crossbody that Sting rolls through for a pin and an air fall.
Yeah.
Sting no sells, chops, fires up, hits corner punches, Stinger splash, Scorpion Deathlock, time limit draw.
Time limit draw, Flair survives. So, in the time limit, they had introduced the judges at the beginning. The judges, this is how the judging went. Wrestling official Gary Juster awarded the match to Sting. But penthouse model Patty Mullen decided in favor of Flair. Space Ooh. Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling official Sandy Scott ruled the match a draw, and no decision was announced for the remaining two judges, who were actors Jason Hervey and Ken Osmond. Jason Hervey, who I believe is from the Wonder Years. And sure. Ken Osmond, who I've never heard of before, and there's someone old out there going, how have you never heard of Ken Osmond before?
I'm going to Google Ken Osmond.
Ken Osmond was Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver. There, that's who he was. Okay. He was on Leave It to Beaver. So because of this, it was a draw. We watched the match. There's no way you could vote for Flair.
Yeah, Flair got fucking rocked for 40 minutes.
For the whole match.
Sting was just no selling. He was fucking wheeling, dealing, stealing, keeling.
Sting could have gone to the gym after this. Flair needed to rest. Hibernate. But because it's a draw, Flair retains the title. Flair would then go on to beat Sting on like a series of house shows and a bunch of more matches. And Sting didn't get the world title yet. We'll get to Sting's world titles. Don't worry. Our next match, it's like a special challenge match. A match that I figured had happened at some point, but did not know. And consistently shows up when asked Sting's best WCW matches. Great American Bash 1989. It is Sting versus Great Muta. Sting is the TV champion, so his belt is on the line.
We did Muta, didn't we?
We did. We did Kaiji Muta, yeah.
Shout out to Muta.
Shout out to Muta. Still doing it. Still kicking.
Yeah.
He says he's got 5 matches left.
He's got 5 matches left?
That's what he said. I guess he came out and said he's got 5 matches left. He's going
to
retire.
I want to know who they're against.
I would love to know who they're against. I also never believe a wrestler is actually done until they are.
I mean, hey, we thought it was legitimately over for Ric Flair for multiple health reasons. And then look at this.
He's just like, no, I'm good.
I'm all set.
This match, pretty great. Great Muta entrance is lit. It's just so theatrical. Like, they did a really good job with it.
Yeah, there's 2 rings, because did they have war games, or what was the deal here?
They did have war games on that show. There's a war games match later. Also, people are going to be wondering, where is the Sting Squadron War Games match, which is also one of his best matches. We have covered it already.
Oh, yeah.
We have covered that match already. I believe in the Dustin Rhodes episode.
It was way back, yeah.
Way back. So go listen to a much younger, much cooler Evan and Javier and listen
Evan,
to us talk.
You were literally 28 years old.
I know. But I was youthful. I had my youth still.
What's happened in the 2 years here?
A whole ass pandemic.
Jesus.
Right? And, you know, if you're wondering, the War Games match was the Road Warriors, the Midnight Express, and Steve Williams versus the Fabulous Freebirds and the Samoan SWAT team. It's an interesting War Games match.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man.
Sure, man.
Eddie Gilbert is Sting's manager.
We've got breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news that'll be old by the time this drops. What's
Woj
the news?
Woj bomb. Detroit has traded Jeremy Grant to Portland for a 2025 first round pick via Milwaukee.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it. No other pieces?
That's all Woj has told me.
No pick swaps, no Nasir Little, no...
I don't know if anything's coming out later on, but Woj has told me that much.
You keep us posted as the episode progresses. We'll see how this happens.
Yeah, I'm the correspondent.
Sting has a manager, and it's Eddie Gilbert still. And Eddie Gilbert looks like a lot of dads today. 1989, he just looks like a dad, like you see walking around. He also, at certain times, because of the hair he has, he kind of looks like Adam Page. Every once in a while, I saw him. And I was like, "It's the hair and the like." His side profile. I was like, "Is that Adam Page in 1989?"
I will say, Adam Page is probably the one wrestler who I'm very curious to see what he ages like physically.
You think so?
Because, like, I can kind of take a guess with most guys. I have no fucking idea what Adam Page is going to look like in like 20 years.
Well, you know, still be anxious.
He's definitely going to be. He's going to be a cowboy.
He's doing cowboy shit. So starting off the match, we get a chop by Muda off the top rope onto Sting, but Sting actually starts the match by diving from one ring into the other to start the match off, which
it's
I love.
Shit.
Yeah. What'd you think of the match overall?
I thought this was fun. I mean, listen, Muda's a fun wrestler to watch. He's very unorthodox. He's very different from any of the guys we saw here in America, especially in this time period. Sting is a good dance partner. So if you're good, you know, Sting's going to be right there with you. This match also didn't go very long.
No, I don't think it overstayed its welcome, which is good. I think it was just a shade under 9 minutes.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got to the point. Oh, we got more. We've gotten more details on the Jeremy Grant trade.
Okay, what's the package?
Detroit swaps 2022 second rounder, getting 36 for 46.
Okay.
Why is Denver here? Denver gets a 2025 first round pick, or second round pick from Portland. Portland sends the most favorable 2026 second round pick between Portland and New Orleans to Detroit. This is like the worst trade ever.
This sucks. I thought the Christian Wood trade was bad. Where Dallas just emptied the end of their bench and got Christian Wood.
It's also like, what the fuck? I don't even know. Whatever. Who cares?
Back to the actual match. Sting doing good. Backbreaker. Moonsault, but Muda lands on his feet when he tries to do the moonsault. He lands on his feet. And then he has kicks that send Sting to the floor. We get a nice plunge across body by Muda to the outside. Muda's cooking. He's cooking hot to start the match.
Muda's cooking. We get a nice little, like I think he said, nice little poncha, nice little crossbody. Sting hits some running clotheslines. Flying clothesline for a near fall.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if Sting was trying to go for a dive or and Muda was too far or what the deal was, but he made it seem like he was about to go for a dive and then he just went and climbed out of the ring.
He just lands on the outside and then just hits right hands in the aisle.
Yeah, it's very weird.
I do think Muda was too far away and Sting had already started, so he just like bailed, landed on his feet, and went from there.
Yeah, he said, fuck it. A little down the line here, Muda puts on a sleeper hold.
Which they call an oriental sleeper, and I was like, I don't think that was needed.
That's not cool.
It's just a sleeper.
Yeah, he's putting him to sleep, just like...
Just like every other sleeper.
just like this NyQuil is going to put me to sleep later. That's true. Sting with a gorilla press slam, and then misses the standing elbow drop. Muda puts on an abdominal stretch, and he uses the ropes.
He does. Little trickery, little heel tactics from Muta.
How about a little bit of a heel turn?
Sting gets tossed to the outside and just decides to no-sell that and come right back in the ring.
Yep. He's done that. He does it a few times throughout these matches.
He does, where he's like, I've got enough energy. Let me get right back in here. Early recovery button. You know,
Muda rakes the eyes. Sting is blind. He's like, I'm legally blind. I can't see. I'm legally blind.
So then he hits some shots on Muda. Sting does. Springboard elbow misses by Muda. Sting fires up with one of the highest leaping bulldogs I've ever seen.
Yeah, my man got out there.
On the bulldog, he's like, white men can jump. Watch me. Woody Harrelson sitting at home being like, I got a good movie idea.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Muda sprays mist. It hits. Oh, wait, actually. Yeah, no, I was right. Muda sprays, but Sting moves, hits Nick Patrick in the face.
And that's where Nick Patrick's heel turn started. He got misted by Muda once. He's like, I'm going to be a dick.
Yep. Muda hits a moonsault for a near fall when another ref came down. Sting back suplex and what seemed like a double pin?
It was. So it gets called a Sting winning, but they reverse it. Both men had their shoulders down. Sting did not raise his shoulders on the bridge. Both men have their shoulders down. Both men are counted for the double pin. It's a draw. Sting retains the TV title. Muda technically doesn't have a loss.
But Muda took the belt.
But technically, it's not. It's a double pin. Sting keeps the belt. That's how it went going forward.
You know what, Evan? I think you're a double pin.
Rude. You mentioned refs. Oh, sorry. It was a bad week for refs in the world of wrestling.
Oh,
man. Lost two refs.
We lost a big one.
Yeah. Dave Hebner passed away at the age of 73.
Yeah.
RIP to him. RIP to the family.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know I talk shit about his brother Earl all the time. But you know, Dave had an early retirement in the wrestling business. I believe it's because of an injury, or some sort of situation, but he was gone by like the early 90s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really unfortunate. My thoughts go out to Earl and the entire family because it's a shitty loss. I believe 73 years old he was when he passed.
He was. Yeah.
It sucks. It's this, you know, I may hate Earl Hebner, but I am not an asshole. Earl, yeah. I wish you and your family nothing but the best.
And like, yeah, we lost Dave, you know, big member of the WWF, was there for a long time, ended up in, he had knee replacement surgery, became a road agent for WWF. And then
it's part of the most watched segment in wrestling history. The rematch between Andre and Hogan, which I believe popped like 33 million people.
That's the evil twin angle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other referee that we lost is Tim White. Tim White passed away earlier this week as well. Tim White, I tweeted from the account, just like, if you watch any wrestling, like in the era that we watch wrestling, you will see Tim White consistently there. He was a part-time referee in 1985 while also being Andre the Giant's agent. And then he became a full-time referee in 93, was there until 2005. And then 2004, he injured his shoulder, couldn't ref anymore. Then became a road agent, still worked on autograph signings. Everyone has positive things to say about Tim White. And like I said, if you watch any wrestling from the era that we tend to gravitate to the most, you will likely see Tim White calling some of your favorite matches and like doing it in such a good way.
Almost, you know? I feel like he was in every single, any like cage match, like Hell in a Cell or regular cage match. Yeah. I feel like he was in all of those.
He was the referee for the King of the Ring match, Taker of Mankind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's unfortunate that I believe that's how he messed up his shoulder was a cage match. He like took like a weird bump on the cage.
So he had a shoulder injury from the Triple H Chris Jericho Hell in a Cell match at Judgment Day 02.
Yeah.
And then at WrestleMania 20 in the Jericho Christian match, he re-injured his shoulder counting the final pin. That's what led to him not being able to ref anymore.
Yeah. Sucks, yeah. Man. It sucks.
Rough week for referees. Again, we wish all their family, all their friends, all their fans, all only the best. And, you know, our condolences to them. But we're going to take a break. When we get back, we got some more Sting matches. We got Lex Luger and we got Mick Foley. Back from the break. It's Lex Luger time, baby. It is Sting versus Lex Luger for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship at Super Brawl 2. Former friends and tag partners.
Tag partners?
Yeah, they did some tag stuff before.
I just got to say, this might be one of the worst title matches I have ever seen in my life.
It's not good. It's the weakest match we watch. No, the tag match is pretty bad.
I think this is worse. I think the tag match had its...
I think the tag match was appropriate for the level of the card it was at. This is the title match.
This is the title match. Like, I feel like you have to factor that shit in. This is like the big program that they've got going. And this shit was just the shits.
Lex Luger is out there with his manager, Harley Race.
Shout out.
It's weird. In your brain, you know that Luger's a body guy, obviously, by the everything about him. Sting is not that much shorter or smaller than him.
Is he even shorter?
Like, maybe by an inch.
They look like they were the same exact height.
They spend a long time jawing at each other to start the match.
Yeah, it's like they're just chatting shit, and then I wrote, yo, they're taking forever. Mind you, I was watching this on like 1.25 or 1.5 speed. This match is the shit. I killed Lex Luger. They start drawing at each other. Yeah, Evan made me retake this because I killed Lex Luger. I thought he was dead. Apparently, yeah, he's not.
Javier started eulogizing a man who's alive. Lex Luger, at the time of recording, is alive and well. And Javier went on a thing about, like, all respect to him, like, RIP. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that he's still with us.
I just got to say, I mean, if Lex Luger dies between this recording and when the podcast comes out, me. It's going to be...
Obviously, like, it would be a tragic loss, but also, like, the fucking odds of that.
Holy shit. Anyways, yeah, it's not good. I already know that Lex is a shit talker. He's not good at talking. Sting is fine. So I just, like, they're talking, they're drawing at each other, and it's like, can y'all just, like, wrestle? Just figure brawl. It out.
Just use your power moves. We get a very early Stinger splash. Luger eats it and then just clotheslines Sting's head off.
Yeah, sure, man. There's an excited lockup in the corner that Luger's really mad about. So Sting flips out of the torture rack, hits a German suplex, which I was not expecting.
No, me neither.
And then puts on a torture rack for a few seconds.
Yeah, I like the torture rack. It's a good finish.
Yeah, I told you already, we need the Brock Lock to come back, the stretch muffler.
We do.
We need that bitch back. But I love a good torture rack. Give it to like someone who's brolic as fuck. Who the hell is brolic out here?
My first thought was Wardlow. He doesn't need it.
No, he's got the Powerbomb Symphony. It's like the best finisher in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I don't know who needs it, but it's a good move. Somebody needs
what's
it.
Omos doing? Give it Omos.
Yeah. We had a jumping DDT to a leaned over Luger by Sting. I like that move a lot. I think this is the first, like as much as this match isn't great, Sting, his bag is varied now.
Yeah.
He's got some new tricks. And I'm like, this is awesome. Because again, he's been wrestling for like not that long.
Speaking of jumping DDTs, you know what's one of my favorite DDTs ever that I feel like never gets brought up? The Undertaker, when he was the American Badass, he had like this like slightly, I wouldn't say it's a jumping DDT.
Swinging.
More like a prancing DDT.
He did like a little skip into it, you know?
Yeah, it was like a little hop. There was a tiny hop. And then he just like fell back because he's like the least athletic man in the universe at that time.
That's true.
And it looked fucking great every single time. Every time.
Lots of early energy from Sting here. We get a backdrop for a two count. Scorpion Deathlock locked in early. Luger gets
like
the rope.
A second.
Really quickly. Luger gets control with a thumb to the eyes because he's a jerk.
Cheap shot.
He also does a low blow while the ref is between them so the ref can't see.
And you know what's great? You know what I love about that is he did so. This is when wrestling is just fun sometimes. He does the low blow and then follows it up with an atomic drop.
Yep. Simple. Simple things. Military press by Luger as well. And then a pile driver for a two.
Yeah.
I'm still so conditioned to make a pile driver a finish that when I saw it, I was like, oh, no, that's not it.
Especially this time period. You know, like
pile drivers were finishes at this time.
Yeah, like the only guy who never used the pile driver as a finish is probably like Brett. And Brett would just hit a pile driver, throw on a sharpshooter, and then it was over.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, this is February 92. Like, this should be a finish.
Yeah, this is like, now it's like a setup move. It's not even a signature.
That's true. Now we do it with front flips. Because
Canadian Destroyer. Bad Bunny's doing them motherfuckers. The Sting fires up with punches and stomps. Luger slams Sting on the guardrail. We're still outside here. Luger gets right back into the ring after he does that. Harley tries to go for a power driver, but Sting turns it into a back body drop. Sting hits a flying crossbody right there, surprising Luger. 1, 2, 3. Sting wins the fucking title.
In what is Luger's last match in WCW and his last appearance until he shows up on the debut Nitro in 95.
Mall of America, baby.
The Mall of America. This is Sting's first WCW championship. Obviously, we've felt the need to include it, even if this match was the drizzling shits, according to Javier.
Drizzling, baby.
There's one part of the match we didn't talk about that I want to. When Sting fires up for the second last time, instead of regular punches, he keeps spinning and just hitting Luger with a right hand. It's the best, like, combo I've ever seen. He's just cleanly hitting a right hand, letting his momentum carry him around, and just fucking hitting it again. He's on like a merry-go-round of punches. It's amazing.
Jesus.
I need more of that. I need that.
It's a tiny, tiny world.
I need him to teach Darby Allin that tomorrow. I want Darby Allin just right out there swinging his fucking fist at people.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. The last thing that I will believe is Darby Allin throwing a credible punch.
That is fair.
Darby Allin has the best suicide dive in the business. He's fucking insane. I love that man. But holy shit, his punches suck.
I just want Darby Allin to know that we already think he's cool. And he doesn't need to do more things to make us think that he's cool.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like he knows he's over, but he just doesn't care. He's just like,
this would be fun.
Yeah, it's like Jeff. Jeff was like a... You know, I do it, I know, because I'm super over, but I'm going to do it because, you know, you got to live life on the edge. And Darby's just like, I can't.
This looks like fun. I could do this.
Could do it.
He's nuts. Yeah. Speaking of people who are nuts, let's look at our last match. It's Sting versus Cactus Jack. Falls Count Anywhere from Beach Blast 1992. I always wanted to say that it was at Bash of the Beach, but that was not a thing yet. Beach Blast.
Beach Blast.
The blasting of the beach.
That sounds like a flavor of something.
It sounds like it should be a Mountain Dew.
Oh my god, yes.
Mountain Dew Beach Blast.
And it's like green. It looks like the Baja Blast, but it's not.
Yeah. What'd you think of this match? And did you know that it existed?
I did not know this existed. This was my favorite match of the bunch. I had Me such a too. Great time. They just... It's so I good. Mean, they, yeah, fucking Foley, sorry, Cactus Jack is just waiting for Sting on the ramp. Sting comes out, he's got his title, he's got all his you know, diddly-doos on from his fucking entrance. Takes it all off immediately, drops everything, and he's just like, fuck it, throw hands, let's go.
Yeah, Cactus Jack just waits. Also, Foley looking young, like real young, looking like,
yeah,
I got like young Bray Wyatt vibes, like he's lead a looking, cult.
And also, handsome man.
Handsome fella.
Handsome guy, that, handsome that young fella. Mick.
He just goes to his knees in the aisle, because this is when WCW had like the raised aisleway for the entrance, and he just waits for Sting. Sting is still world champ at this point. It's only a couple months after beating Luger, and they meet in the aisle. They start throwing hands.
Yeah, it's easy as that. Easy peasy. 1, 2, 3, baby.
And I like the idea of like Jack coming in, and he's like, this, and they're like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Fight our world champion.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Like, you don't need that much more buildup. Like, this dude, he's nuts. Go to town. Fight Sting.
And then it's great because there's this one spot like right after the punches are being thrown where they're still on the ramp and Sting whips Cactus off the ropes and just hits a back body drop.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope. And then they go like towards ringside a little bit. Sting hits a Famouser, which I thought was fucking cool as shit.
It was really good, too.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. I was not expecting a fucking famouser in this match.
No, me neither.
Cactus drops. It does a sig. It's a staple.
Yes.
Does a staple. Elbow drop off the apron, baby. Mind you, when I say like all this stuff that's happening right now, it's all on concrete.
There's no mat budget.
There's no mat budget. There's no fucking. There's no nothing. They can't even get like a throw rug or a mattress. Like I'm not even like it's just something.
Go to your local bazaar. Pick up some rugs.
Yeah, just figure it the fuck out, guys. No, they had nothing. It's hard concrete. Cactus does like a flying sunset flip. It's like a near fall. He does it off the apron. Like he jumps off the apron into the sunset flip.
I also think they do a really good job of using the falls count anywhere part of this match. Like they just do go for pins on the outside because they should.
Yeah.
Falls count anywhere, just fucking pin him after you hit a sunset flip off the apron.
Yeah, Sting smashes Cactus's face off the guardrail. Sting hits a back body drop over the guardrail into the crowd onto concrete. Once again, mm-hmm. I feel like this needs to be emphasized. They are on concrete.
And then we get a suplex on concrete by Sting to count. Jackets tossed back into the ring. They're in the ring for the first time in the match at this point.
By the way, that bump that Cactus took to get back to ringside is disgusting.
Yep.
Please never show me that again.
But also, it's so low on the like shit Mick Foley has done list.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, that was Tuesday. Like, he doesn't care.
Tuesday. Jesus.
Thursday. What a concept.
Friday. I'm in love.
So Jack's in control a little bit in the ring. He's running Sting into the turnbuckle. He gets a body scissors on, which...
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Hey, you like bear hugs? How about bear hugs with legs?
Yeah, and Sting no-sells it. Punches his way out. With Cactus, the only way Cactus is able to get back the advantage is he rakes his eye. Does the cool Mick Foley / all these other personality spot that he does, where he does the clothesline to get his enemy out or his opponent out of the ring, but he also sends himself with it.
Yes, he goes tumbling after. I want to take a quick pause to talk about Sting's gear. This is the best look for Sting, I think, of all the looks for Surfer Sting so far.
Go on.
The all pink tights with the scorpion on them, I think that's the best look. I think you can see that his look has clearly evolved a little bit as the matches have gone on. He gets a little bit better gear as it keeps going on. Do you prefer the gear of like Surfer Sting or Crow Sting?
Oh, Surfer Sting, 100%. Because I feel like there's just more variety that you could use.
Yeah.
Whereas you're very handicapped with the Crow gimmick. I mean, he's not putting on like the tights like he is when he's Surfer Sting. He's putting on the singlet, you know? And it's always the same singlet. Sometimes he'll add a little bit of color to it. You know, maybe he'll throw in some purple. Maybe he'll switch up the design. But most of the time, it's just kind of the same thing.
But Surfer Sting, Crow Sting, or Joker Sting?
Joker Sting, 100%. Lock it in. That's the one.
So we're on the outside once again. And Sting with a great clothesline to get some space. But Cactus Jack has a chair. He hits it to the stomach and the back.
Four times. Jack.
Cactus Jack is also talking to the chair. It's weird.
Hey, man. You know, sometimes you just gotta do it. you gotta do the thing. Tried to find a reference in my head to some sort of thing. Couldn't. So I just, improvise.
I'll snow somewhere being like, I can turn that into a whole gimmick. I'm going to talk to something that doesn't talk back.
Love Al Snow. And then Cactus does the four chair shots to Sting. Sting gets back into reality here. He hits a back suplex on the fucking concrete for a near fall. They're trading pins on the concrete. Sting tried for like a makeshift stinger splash in the corner of the guardrail. Cactus just tosses him into the guardrail. Cactus then tried to go for a pow driver. It looked like, but his knee gave out, so he couldn't exactly get it going.
Because he hurt his knee earlier on the elbow drop off the apron, and commentary made a point of noticing that, like that he went knee first on the ground.
Yeah. Cactus goes for the elbow drop off the apron. He goes for an elbow drop from like the middle rope out to the outside where Sting is. He misses. Sting rolls out of the way. Sting hits a scoop slam on the apron, and then he gets a chair, and he hits Cactus with it exactly 3 times.
That's true, on the back and then in the knee. Both men fall off as Sting goes for Scorpion Deathlock. I guess Cactus Jack decides, I am safer on the ground pulling this man with me than in the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah, Cactus, to get back on the ramp, Cactus hits the double hook, double underhook DDT for a near fall. And then we get the finish, which I love this match. Flat finish.
Very flat finish. Talk about it.
Sting hits a running clothesline. Sting hits a flying clothesline. That's it.
I will say, not finishing the match with a finisher, I'm usually all game for. This needed it. I need this to be a Stinger splash, or I need it to be...
Give me a Scorpion Death Drop on the ramp.
I need, what's going on with it? That. Or I need it to involve a weapon. If you're going to, give me some sort of big slam on a chair or a move off the apron or whatever, especially for a Falls Count Anywhere match, that's flat. That's a really flat finish.
Give me something. Or make him do the running clothesline and then the flying clothesline. Have him use a fucking chair.
Chair shot off the top rope. Javier's been advocating for this for years.
Iconic. Iconic. And
Sting is the icon. Those are our first 5 matches. That's our first little block of Sting. All Surfer Sting, little Blade Runner. Blade Runner Sting in there for you.
A little Harrison Ford. Maybe a little Ryan Gosling, is that's more your cup of tea.
That's right. Next week, obviously, Sting Part 2. Next week, we're looking at a little bit more Surfer, and then we're getting the development of Crow Sting.
Ooh.
I'm excited. And then it's going to be the rest of his WCW stuff. And then Part 3 is going to focus on TNA and WWE. So,
yee.
You know how hard it is to boil down all of Sting's TNA stuff to part of an episode? Sucks.
4 matches, basically.
Sucks.
He's there for a decade.
We've seen him in other matches. He's shown up, I think, in Kurt's and Mr. Kennedy's as well.
Kennedy.
Thank you. What did you think going through this early Sting?
I definitely saw improvement, which is a great thing. It's the thing you want to see. You want to see a guy who inevitably becomes a top guy improve in their careers. It's something that, look at the trend of all guys who've become top guys. I mean, look at Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has gotten insanely good at the wrestling. John Cena improved, Triple H improved.
Batista improved.
Yeah. Going down and down the line. And all these guys, The Rock guy was crazy good at this shit. You always see that progression. And we saw that here with Sting. He's still kind of green, man. Still kind of green, but he's getting there. And I could see him being the top guy. It really reminds me of that early 2005, the first title run for Cena. He's got that match with Jericho, Christian. All this stuff. He's in random feuds. He's over as fuck. He's not that great at wrestling, but he's over. He's a worthy champion. They let him go out there because the only way that you're ever going to get better at this shit is by doing it.
Reps. It's all reps. And you know what? If you think somebody has the ability, give them the belt. See how it goes. Give them a whirl.
Give them the ball.
You can always take it off them. You have the power. You can always take it back.
Feed him.
Always give back to Flair. I liked it. That I wasn't a WCW or a TNA guy, but I've seen a lot of Sting by going back and watching it myself. This is not the era of Sting that I was as familiar with. It was like later Surfer and Crow stuff is what I kind of knew better. And I've seen him in a lot of TNA stuff now. So going back and seeing, here's a match against the Great Muta when he's, 30. Here's a match against Cactus Jack when he's world champion. Here's, some old promos. I'm like, okay, I see the origin story. I see where it comes from.
Here's some Blade Runner.
Here's some Blade. You know what you need? You need some Rock. You need some Rock in your life. I liked it. I'm excited to see the Crow turn. I'm excited to see that. It is weird that there's literally a gap in his resume of matches that's like 14 months long.
Yeah, and then there's like a gap in his career that's like, 2 or 3 years after WCW went belly up. Because I don't think he got to TNA until like 2004 or 2005. Yeah,
he took some time off. He took his ball, he went home. Honestly, he deserved a break. He carried a lot of WCW. He deserves a break. Let the man rest, okay? So obviously, there's no spoilers for who next week is. It's Sting Part 2. We hope you'll join us for that. Javi, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. Sauce me follows.
You will see his opinions on the NBA draft, I'm sure.
Paolo Banchero is greater than you.
Sing to me, Paolo. Follow me on Twitter at It's Evan Gomes, ItsEvanGomes. Follow the podcast, most importantly, at Crossbody of Work. It's the most important thing to do. Follow us. Tell us who to cover. I think we know who's going to be after Sting, but hey, after that, wide open.
Wide open, baby.
You want a Dr. Death episode? You let us know. And we'll
you
want to
see Ted DiBiase? We'll think about it.
Boomer Sooner, baby. Boomer Sooner. We're at the best part of the episode every week. Javier, any final words for the people?
Life advice with Javier this week. So as I mentioned, this is my flu game.
That's right.
My advice this week, take care of yourself. If you're sick, take it easy. Drink some water. Make sure you're getting your shit in. Fun fact, make sure you drink stuff that has sodium in it. You tend to overhydrate because you're like, okay, well, I've always heard, you know, you need to drink more water when you're sick so you don't get dehydrated easily because you're losing a lot of fluid. Yep. It's also important to replenish the sodium in your body because that could be real, real fucking dangerous if you overhydrate on just water. And also, yeah, if you didn't know that. Double faxed and boosted. I don't have the virus. I am negative, thankfully. Still haven't gotten it yet. It's not going to catch me slipping. But I went today and I knew, you know, my at-home tests, as I've told me twice now, that I was negative. I went and got the rapid test because thankfully I work for a hospital and I have the option of doing that in a pretty convenient way. And I did, and it was negative, and I knew it was going to be negative, but I did it just in case. It's very important. Like, if you're feeling under the weather, like, don't fucking take the chance. Just go get tested. You know, it's better to know for sure than to leave it up to chance, because you never know. What if you are positive and now you're like spreading that shit, you know?
And just in general, it's people, I'm seeing people now be like, oh, well, you know, now that it's not as big a deal, like, we can go back to work when we're sick. No, stay home. Why are you working when you're sick? If you're sick, rest. You deserve rest.
Yeah.
Get better.
Nobody wants the sick guy in the office.
With the exception of Javier, because he wouldn't dare deprive you people of the glory of Sting.
Listen, tomorrow's the NBA draft. It's a national holiday for me. We had to record it early. Today just happened to be that day.
That's true.
This weekend, I will be in the vacation spot at the Kennedys, good old Hyannis in the Cape. And you know, it's just the only time that could happen. You know, I had to take myself out of bed. I had to gather myself, get my shit together, and I had to push through. You know, I really want to sneeze right now, and I'm holding that motherfucker in because I have to speak. The people need to hear me. Evan, I'm gonna sneeze now. I need you to take from me.
I've got it. Don't you worry. You deal with that nonsense. Thank you so much for joining us this week as we started our journey covering Sting. We're back next week, obviously more Sting. Hopefully you'll join us then as we discover the Crow and see the rest of his WCW stuff. It's a great time. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.
Bye.